Hello, I'm Martin, and this is my show. Each week, we take a deep dive into one artist, one story, 1 hour. We crack open the tracks, peel back the history, what was happening in the studio, on the streets, in the headlines. It's not just music, it's a movement. Each episode becomes a music brick, a solid piece of sound and story, stacked into a music wall of riffs, revolutions, record sleeves, and raw truth. This is more than nostalgia, it's a blueprint, and this is Music Brick. So let's all forget about the clock and forget about the world outside. Tonight we're diving headfirst into The Clash. Joe Strummer, Mick Jones, Paul Cinnamon and Topper Heaton. Four restless souls who collided in London and forged a sound no one saw coming. They didn't come from privilege or polished studios. They came from crumbling flats, late night buses and the raw energy of a city on edge. From their earliest days in abandoned rehearsal rooms, they fused the fury of punk with reggae's pulse and rockabilly's snarl, making every song a rallying cry. They wrote about what they saw: poverty, racism, corruption, war. They sang not just to entertain, but to provoke, to question, to unite. They made their guitars sound like alarms, their words like Molotovs, and their shows felt like revolutions. This wasn't music built for radio charts, it was built for the streets. The Clash created a new language of rebellion, a soundtrack for those who felt unheard, unseen, and unrepresented. They didn't follow punk's rules, they expanded them, then smashed them entirely. Tonight, we're going to chart the rise of a band that changed everything.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio, the best radio station on the Med.
Let's kick off the show with a quote from Joe Strummer from the documentary The Future is Unwritten. Then we'll dive straight into their first single, White Riot.
They should have that in a big billboard across Times Square. Without people, you're nothing.
The Clash's first Firebomb was written after the chaos of the 1976 Notting Hill Carnival, where celebration turned to confrontation. Strummer saw a city on edge, anger flaring, police clamping down, and channeled that tension into 1 minute 58 seconds of raw urgency. It stormed to number 38 in the UK charts, embodying punk's DIY fury with two chords and shouted vocals. Joe later said, "It was about the energy we saw, about making noise, not starting violence." Punk was exploding. The Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen controversy dominated the headlines. At the Roxy Club, fans wore Westwood's bondage trousers and Doc Marten boots, icons of resistance. White Riot wasn't just a track, it was a statement. Raw, urgent, impossible to ignore. They didn't ease in, they detonated. Suits were trying to tidy them up. The Clash kicked the door off its hinges. Complete Control was a punk manifesto against the industry interference. In late 1977, after their label CBS tried to dictate their music's release, The Clash fired back with this biting attack, reaching number 28 in the UK. Joe Strummer snarled in an interview, "They wanted to control us, but we'd rather burn down their house than be puppets." This song captured the tension between punk's anti-establishment spirit and the commercial realities looming large. Meanwhile, Vivian Westwood's shop buzzed with punks, buying ripped tees and leather jackets, fashion becoming a weapon. Fanzines like Sniffin' Glue chronicled gigs and clashes. While the great rock and roll swindle satirised the music business's greed, Complete Control's jagged riffs echoed the frustration of a band unwilling to be tamed, cementing the Clash's place as punk's fiercest rebels. Punk in chains, not on their watch. This next one wasn't just a song, it was a flare in the sky. London Burning distilled the chaos and boredom of late 70s London, a city simmering with unrest and economic hardship. Released in 1977, the song's relentless rhythm was like a heartbeat racing through council estates and youth clubs. The Queen's Jubilee celebrations highlighted the country's divide, wealthy pageantry contrasted with strike-ridden streets and rising unemployment. Punk gigs at the 100 Club and the Roxy with a pulse of rebellion. TV shows like The Young Ones captured this restless youth energy, and films like Quadrophenia explored working class identity, fitting the Clash's narrative perfectly. Joe Strummer later reflected, "London was on fire, but it wasn't a literal blaze. It was the feeling in the air, the tension and desperation. London's Burning was a soundtrack of a city on edge, urgent, relentless and raw." The warning shot had been fired.
Romania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of thing. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stuck on him, the wheat is going thick. A nuclear error, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning.
White Man in Hammersmith Palais marked a turning point. In 1978, Joe Strummer and the band went to a reggae show at the Palais, expecting trouble. Instead, they got soft harmonies and crooning love songs. Joe walked home, notebook in hand, and shaped a song that called out both white punks and black performers. He wasn't sparing anyone. If we're all in this fight together, he said, we've got to be honest with each other too. Released in 1978, it only hit number 32 in the charts, but rewired punk circuitry. The band folded reggae rhythms into their sound, years ahead of anyone else. At the cinema, Scum showed Borstal brutality. On the television, Grange Hill was introducing kids to gritty realism. And in the middle of it all stood this song, defiant, disappointed, and as sharp as broken glass.
Right spot, the right Wilson, You think it's funny?
Guns of Brixton was no pose. Paul Simonon lived it. Born and raised in Brixton, Simonon brought his live reality to tape in 1979. Youth employment was near 20%, and this was the first Clash song written and sung by Simonon. Joe and Mick stepped back. It had to be him, Joe said. It was his story. The track's low slung, deep bass and defiant lyrics painted a scene. When they kick at your front door, Paul sings, how you gonna come? It wasn't hypothetical. The single didn't charge high, but its legacy runs deep, sampled by hip-hop, covered by reggae acts, name-checked across genres. In 1979, Margaret Thatcher took power. Inflation was rampant, and in schools, people were watching Mind Your Language, a sitcom that now feels like an archive of ignorance. The Guns of Brixton wasn't a song, it was a warning.
When they kick at your front door, how you gonna come?
Clampdown was released in 1979 and it felt like a red flag. It was aimed not just at governments and bosses but at the kids who'd sell out their ideals for a company car and a mortgage. You grow up and calm down, Joe Strummer said bitterly. But that's the problem, you calm down. It was a track 8 on London's Calling and it cut deep. Their pounding drums and militant rhythm made it one of their most urgent tracks. They never released it as a single, but its message spread fast. turning up in fanzines, scribbled in spray paint under flyovers, and screamed back at them at gigs. Britain in 1979 was shifting hard right. The miners were angry and strikes were just warming up. On TV, kids were watching Tucker's Luck, a grim Grange Hill spin-off that made adulthood look like a trap. Films like The Long Good Friday showed what Britain's underworld looked like when capitalism started winning. And at the same time, Adidas Sambas and Crombie Coats were turning working class kids into sharp young operators. Clampdown was their conscience talking back. Don't give in. Don't sell. For those who sell out, this one's a warning shot. Death or Glory is The Clash putting a mirror to themselves. By the end of 1979, they were no longer outsiders. London Calling was climbing the UK album charts, and American critics were starting to listen. Were they becoming what they once hated? Death or Glory becomes just another story, Joe spits. It's aimed at washed-up rockers who once shouted revolution, but now signed autographs at corporate parties. But it's also self-critique. Mick said, we were becoming known, and that's dangerous. This track was our warning. You can hear the collision between swagger and paranoia. Over on Top of the Pops, the Jam were tightening their sound while madness brought scar to the suburbs. In the cinema, Breaking Glass showed a female punk torn apart by the industry. And on TV, Citizen Smith was giving sitcom spin to left-wing dreams. In that world, Death or Glory wasn't just rebellion. It was The Clash daring themselves not to give in.
sets. They said hello, and you say okay. Don't wanna play the show. No, all you're thinking, where's the fifth of glory now? Playing the blues and pain. Sure, it's better now.
Next up, a tune I never knew was a cover. Their 1979 I Fought the Law became one of the most defining tracks of punk's second wave. A song first recorded by the Crickets, then popularised by the Bobby Fuller Four, but the Clash turned it into something else entirely. A clenched fist anthem for kids getting steamrolled by the system. Joe had discovered the song while in San Francisco, just after the band signed to CBS. They were there to break America, and this song did just that. It had this ring of truth, Joe said. Everyone we met felt like they'd been stepped on by something bigger than them. It never charted officially in the UK, but it dominated the airwaves and became a staple on their live set. The track became a strange kind of protest song, upbeat, singable, but bitter to the core. By 1980, the phrase, "I fought the law," felt less like nostalgia and more like prophecy.
Law one, I fought the law.
The law and the law one.
I needed money,
Way in and no let up from Riot Vans to Radio Bands. The Clash have torn through six blazing tracks. Here's what we've heard so far: White Riot, a punk grenade thrown straight at apathy; White Man in Hammersmith Palais, reggae ghosts and shattered illusions; London Calling, floodwaters rising, empire cracking; Clamp Down, factory floors, false bosses, no surrender; Death or Glory, poser killers and bitter truths; Complete Control, Label Lies and Red Hot Rebellion. Now strap yourselves in and get yourselves ready. Part 2 coming next.
You're tuned in to Music Break. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.
Tommy Gunn punches hard with its jagged, aggressive riff and sharp-edged lyrics, a brutal critique of war and the media's twisted glorification of violence. Released in 1978, this track came as the world was engulfed in conflicts, from Vietnam's aftermath to the Cold War's simmering tensions. Joe Strummer's vocals are like gunfire, raw, urgent and dripping with irony. The song dives into the mind of the soldier machine, the Tommy Gunn, becoming a symbol of destruction fueled by blind obedience and political spin. There's no heroism here, only the cold, harsh reality of conflict's toll. It's a warning shot at the warmongers and propaganda, wrapped in a tight, punchy punk package. The clash between brutal music and biting message made this track a defining moment for the Clash's fearless political voice. It scorched radio waves and rebel hearts alike, leaving no one able to ignore the cost of the war game.
Thank you.
Next up, Spanish bombs. By summer of 1979, the IRA were bombing London pubs, and Spanish separatists were planting charges in hotel basements. Strummer had Europe on his mind, not just politics, but civil war. Spanish bombs written fast, scrawled on a napkin in the van, sparked by a newspaper story about the Costa del Sol explosion. While Tubeway Army were topping the charts with Our Friends Electric, this was a track full of ghosts, grenades and guilt. Strummer flips between Spanish and English, mixing broken tourist phrases with brutal flashbacks. The line "trenches fall over poets" lands like a knife, a nod to Garcia Lorca's execution in 1936. Bombs fall over quiet towns, but the anger is present tense. In Britain, people were still arguing over the winter of discontent and bin strikes, while in Madrid, the Guardia Civil still wore Franco-era uniforms. This song isn't a history lesson, it's a punk seance. Barbed wire memory delivered with urgency.
Spanish songs in Andalusia, the shooting sights in the days of 39. Oh, please leave the Vendana open, Federico Lorca, dead and gone. Bullet holes in the cemetery wall, the black car, the body of the beer. Spanish bombs on the Costa Rica, I'm dying here on the DC-10 tonight.
Spanish bombs,
you got the Quiero y Benito, you got the Quera, oh my God, I thought.
Spanish bombs,
you got the Quiero y Benito, you got the Quera, oh my God, I thought.
Spanish
weeks in my disco casino, the freedom fighters died up on the hill.
Spanish bombs,
you're the Quiero y Benito, you're the Quera, oh my corazón.
Spanish bombs,
you're the Quiero y Benito, you're the Quera, oh my corazón. The hillsides ring with
Magnificent Seven was The Clash taking a risk. A full-blown funk-rap hybrid dropped in May 1981, months before Grandmaster Flash would make UK headlines. Recorded in New York, it was partly inspired by what they were hearing on WBLS and walking the streets of the Bronx. Strummer was obsessed with the early hip-hop street poets and the rhythms of working life. You wake up in a cell, you get fed, you go to work. This is the life for most people, Joe said. It's a prison with a lunch break. The lyrics go after consumer culture, office drudgery and processed living. sung like a stream of consciousness, it didn't storm the UK chart, peaking at number 34, but it turned heads. On American Radio College, it was a sensation. Over in Soho, the kids had moved from Bondage Trousers to Sergio Vitaschini and Fila. The Clash was still ahead of the curve, politically, musically, and lyrically.
The Magnificent Seven. Ring, ring, 7 a.m. Move yourself to go again. Cold water in the face brings you back to this awful place. Knuckle merchants and your bankers too. Let's get up and learn those rules. Weatherman and the crazy chief. One says sun and one says sea. A.m. and F.M. the P.M. too. Turning out that boogaloo. Get you up and I guess you out. But how long can you keep it up? Give me Honda, give me Sonic. So cheap and real phony. Hong Kong dollar, Indian cents, English pounds and Eskimo pence. Seen the ads, cause it's nice. Better work hard, I seen the price. Never mind that, it's time for the bus. We got to work, and you're one of us. Clocks go slow in a place of work. Minutes drag and the hours jump. Yeah, wait, bye-bye. Wait, bye-bye to the boss. It's our profit, it's his loss. But anyway, the lunch bell rings. Take one out, do y'all. Chief Boyga. What do we have for entertainment? Cops kicking gypsies on the pavement. Now the news has leapt to attention. Lunar landing of the Vintage Convention. Italian monster shoots a lobster. Seafood restaurant gets out of hand. Car in the fridge, a fridge in the car. My cowboy's doing TV land.
You know what?
Don't stop, keep it up. Sweat some more. The sun will sink and we'll get out the door. It's no good for man to work in cages. Hit the town, he drinks his wages. Your friend, your sweat. But did you notice you ain't getting? Your friend, your sweat. But did you notice not getting anywhere? Don't you ever stop long enough to start. Take your car out of that gear. Don't you ever stop long enough to start. Get your car out of that gear. Call the mops, a fire and angels. Came to the checkout at the 7-Eleven. Mops was good, but he had sense. The necessary events. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Magnificent. What do we got? Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi went to the park to check on the game. But they was murdered by the other team. Went on to win 50-0. You can be true, you can be false. You'll be given the same reward. Socrates and Milhouse Dixon both went the same way through the kitchen. Plato the Greek or in Tin Tin. Who's more famous to the billion millions? Who's Flash? Vacuum cleaner sucks up budgie.
The next track opens with that mocking American folk melody, then shifts like a boot to the ribs. Joe Strummer pulls all Oliver Cromwell through a side street in Camden, warning that Britain, all divisions, never really died. They just learned to wear suits. English Civil War isn't about the past. It's a mirror held up to a country splitting down the middle in real time. This wasn't a fantasy. It was a warning. You can hear the dread in the rhythm, like boots marching just outside the window. Released in early 1979, the UK top 10 looked like this. At number 10, Milk and Alcohol, Dr. Feelgood. Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, The Shadows. At number 7, Contact, Edwin Starr. I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. I Was Made for Dancing, Leif Garrett. At number 5, Oliver's Army, Elvis Costello and the Attractions. Woman in Love, The 3 Degrees, Chiquitita, ABBA. At number 2, Tragedy by the Bee Gees. And at number 1, Heart of Glass, Blondie.
When Johnny come marching home again, hurrah, tra-la. It's coming by bus or underground, hurrah, tra-la. A woman's eyes shed a tear to see his face so beaten and fair. It's just
turmoil. After decades of royal rule, millions of Iranians took to the streets, a popular movement against a regime that was seen as brutal, corrupt, and illegitimate.
Just 2 to go and they just still keep giving. Rock the Casbah was the Clash's unexpected global hit, blending Middle Eastern melodies with dance punk grooves and sharp satire. Written during the early 80s, the song humorously critiques bans on Western music and youth culture, inspired by real events in Iran after the Islamic Revolution. The clash of cultures is front and centre. While regime leaders tried to silence rock and roll, young people found ways to resist through music and dance. The catchy keyboard riff and infectious beat mask a biting message, a celebration of rebellion through sound, even when it's outlawed. It's the Clash's nod to global struggles, showing that punk spirit isn't just London's, it's everywhere the music survives. Rock the Casbah became an anthem for freedom, reminding us that no matter how high the wall, music always finds a way in.
Sound degenerate.
And this is it, the last track. Should I Stay or Should I Go was the hit that tore the Clash apart. Mick Jones wrote it, sang it, and watched it become a smash. Number 17 in 1982, then number 1 when re-released in 1991. But back in the studio, things were fractured. Jones and Strummer were barely speaking. Topper was about to be kicked out over heroin. The song made us money, Joe said bitterly, but we were coming undone. It wasn't just about a lover. Mick later hinted it was a veiled message to the band. Part of me had already left, he said. The bilingual backing vocals in English and Spanish were recorded in a playful off-the-cuff moment. The song's pop sheen disguised a bitter truth. The Clash were burning out. Meanwhile, Britain was being swept up in the Falklands fever. Union Jack posters were everywhere. Combat Rock was the biggest album in the US. But to the old-school punk, it sounded like a sellout. On telly, the Tube was launching, showcasing a new wave of slick art-schooled bands. The question wasn't about lovers, it was about the band itself.
Woo! Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine and next is black. So if you want me off your back, well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. Decisions bugging me.
Indecision, they molest
me. If you don't want me, set me free.
Set me carelessly from here.
Exactly whom I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow?
And that was The Clash, a band that lit the fuse and never waited for the bang. Sadly, Joe Strummer died suddenly on the 22nd of December 2002, aged just 50. His death felt cruelly premature, like a fuse that had only just been relit. Strummer wasn't just the voice of punk, he was its conscience, its poet. It was the silencing of a defiant truth-teller in a world that still badly needed one. The Clash weren't just punk, they were postcodes, police raids, record shops and radio static. They were Brixton and Belfast, Portobello Road and Times Square. They sang about injustice before it was fashionable. They made genre a joke. They stood for something and they shouted it loud. In a world of slogans, they wrote manifestos. In an industry of sellouts, they stayed difficult until they couldn't. But those records still punch through, still challenge you, still ask, what do you believe in and what will you do about it?
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio, the best radio station on the Med.
Next time on Music Brick, we swap guitars for wires, safety pins for static. The melodies turn colder, the rhythms get sharper. We're in Sheffield. Concrete precincts, flickering light grids, back rooms filled with invention. And somewhere in the noise, a new kind of pop is taking shape. The Human League, a stitch together from punk, sci-fi, art school and sheer nerve. No drummer, no guitars, just loops, visuals and second-hand synths, held together with instinct. Then they split, half the band walks, two teenage girls from a local hair salon walk in, and everything shifts. This isn't just music, it's class, chaos, electronics, and the sound of the future being built from the bottom up. I give you the Human League. Would you like to become part of the Music Brick story? Head over to our Facebook page. Just search at Music Brick, share your memories connected to your favourite songs, and add your own Music Brick to our music wall. And there you have it. Another Music Brick, another artist, another journey. Keep your ears open and your spirits high. Keep listening, keep exploring, and above all, keep the faith. Na-night, Mum.
You're tuned in to Music Brick. Built from the bones of the backbeat. Raw, real, relentless.